I have deposited in the county of Bedford, about 4 miles from Buford's Tavern, in an excavation of vault 6 feet below the surface of the ground, the following articles belonging jointly to the parties whose names are given in number 3 herewith. The first deposit consisted of 1,014 pounds of gold and 3,812 pounds of silver, deposited November 1819. The second was made December 1821 and consisted of 1,907 pounds of gold and 1,280 pounds of silver, also jewels obtained in St. Louis in exchange to save transportation and valued at $13,000. The above is securely packed in iron pots with iron covers. The vault is roughly lined with stone, and the vessels rest on solid stone and are covered with others. Paper number 1 describes the exact locality of the vault so that no difficulty will be had in finding it. Thomas Jefferson Beale. From the second ciphertext of the Beale Papers, allegedly written in 1822. Is it time to channel your inner Gus Chiggins and get to hunting for gold? Or maybe all of this is a cunning ruse or just a flat-out lie? We explore that and more this week with the Beale Papers on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to an episode full of ciphers and gold and jewels.
And a more than healthy dose of stupidity. Don't forget about that.
All right, good point, C-Bot. You are here, so there is plenty of stupidity.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kyle.
You are all worthless.
Right, all right. We are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago. How would you say that? Chicago. With a gold rush to parts unknown, Colorado. And I'm Brent Hand. He's David Flora.
Yo.
And the bots are here, which makes this Hysteria 51.
That's right, Brent. And this week we are looking for gold via ciphers. Trying to find the hidden lies to keep ourselves from having treasure fever.
Yeah, right.
Could you see yourself looking for a treasure like this, by the way?
I don't mean this as a joke. I'm too lazy. I'm pretty sure I know where that's at. Well, it's about a 2-day hike from here. I'm pretty sure someone else is going to find that. I don't know, man. You hear about this stuff. Let's take out the, forget about this, the stuff that people really see. Well, I mean, you know, not even looking at the money pit or anything like that. People spend their lives looking for some of these or die trying.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I think it's just, it's like gambling or anything else. It gets in your blood and, you're hooked. Doesn't it? You know, that's what that gold rush was kind of like too. Don't you feel like?
Oh, sure. And, I think you have discussed Forrest Fenn's treasure, right?
Mm-hmm.
So funny thing about that, I was talking to Derek Hayes, about that back when kind of we were starting to put together the idea for the Shadows in the Desert, maybe a little before that, but we were both into that and we were like, shoot, do we try to do this? Like, should we get together and just, you know, go out there and cause people did die looking for that dude's
right.
treasure.
Yeah.
But
should we kill one another out of sheer agreed?
We both bought the book and then like a week later, somebody found it.
Yeah. That's about how that works. See, you did it. That fucking terrible luck of yours.
Right.
I think I got an idea.
But it wasn't anywhere near where we were thinking about. So we didn't feel too bad.
Yeah, you're right. And it sounds like it wasn't really anywhere a lot of people were thinking about. And the guy was just like, you're all wrong. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, the let's get rich quick, or I guess it's not quick, but it's a tantalizing mistress, I guess you could say, for a lot of people. And, you know, countless people have scoured Bedford County, Virginia, in the hopes of discovering the supposed Thomas Beals 3 tons of buried treasure worth over, now, it's always in inflation or in flux, I mean to say, but over $43 million today.
I'll take it.
Yeah,
I'll
right? It's better than a kick in the nards like you're a goddamn werewolf.
Which is what I keep trying to pay for stuff with.
Rochambeau you for it. So far, though, no one has claimed it.
Good. No one is onto me.
What?
Nothing to see here. Move along.
Right, right. Anyway, speaking of nonsense, the lure of such, I hate to say accessible wealth, but, you know, it's not like you had to go and start your own business. It's just like, I found a cave. You know, it's claimed a lot of time, money, livelihoods, sanity, marriages, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people love to get swept away and stuff like this, and it ruins lives, you name it. You know, as you know, you were talking to someone about doing something similar. The allure comes from the fact that, well, in this one, the supposed location of the buried bullion is, it's not unknown. It's right there at your fingertips. It's just in a coded text.
Ugh.
You know?
Not again.
Oh, man, I swear. When I
was told there would be no math.
I dropped my damn decoder ring. And
right there at the bottom of your glass. Of
exactly. Yeah, it's a crummy commercial. That text, though, it's yet to be deciphered. What lies hidden amongst the numbers and the papers you scream out as you're going to get in your pickaxes?
Or maybe we should be asking what hidden lies are in them.
Kyle coming in with the gold nuggets this week.
I see what you did there.
Goddamn right. See those?
Nice. Kyle's firing.
He's firing on his one cylinder. give us a taste, if you will. About this whole, I don't want to say theory, this whole story.
Okay, is this back to Edward Beauregard, Beale, or whatever his name was? Thomas Jefferson?
This is from the Beale papers. This is from said papers.
All right. Before giving the papers to the public, I would say a word to those who may take an interest in them and give them a little advice acquired by bitter experience. It is to devote only such time as can be spared from your legitimate business to the task. And if you can spare no time, let the matter alone.
Yeah, man, don't let it eat you alive. All the best hidden treasures have words of the warning. Don't let this take up too much of your time. Your children and wife, shut up. Give me your fucking gold.
I might make t-shirts that say, if you can spare no time, let the matter alone. I love it. Should you disregard my advice, do not hold me responsible that the poverty you have courted is more easily found than accomplishment of your wishes, and I would avoid the sight of another reduced to my condition.
Oh, God.
Don't be like me, children. Nor is it necessary to devote the time that I did to this matter, as accident alone, without the promised key, will ever develop the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
If revealed by accident, a few hours devoted to the subject may accomplish results which were denied to years of patient toil. Again, never, as I have done, sacrifice your own and your family's interests to what may prove an illusion. But, as I have already said, when your day's work is done and you are comfortably seated by your good fire, a short time devoted to the subject can injure no one and may bring its reward.
Mm-hmm.
From the Beale papers, a pamphlet written in 1885.
Yes, a pamphlet. More on that. It is going to be break time
now.
I loved
pamphlets in the 19th century.
Oh, man, there are some good ones, and we're going to get into that. When we come back, we're going to do some treasure hunting or some treasure crapping on. That's next on Hysteria 51. We'll be right back. Hola, David. Me llamo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete your 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. Nation, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, hey, what's the catch, baby?
I said, bring me the head of Ryan Reynolds.
Did true story. But after talking to him, hey, it all made sense. There isn't one, not with Mint Mobile's secret sauce. And Brent, do you want to know what the secret sauce is?
I sure want to know. I do.
They sell wireless service online.
That's it.
They don't have retail stores or salespeople. They instead deliver premium phone plans directly to you.
And this worked great for me because we were moving to a new area, and they're like, hey, do you want to try this out? And you can use your own phone, and it works better than what I had. And that's amazing. I don't want to say the company I was using. I don't want to tee it up like that. But I'm just going to tell you, it's been really, really, really good. And Mint Mobile here to rescue from your premium wireless. And it, like you said, it starts at $15 a month. They all the plans come with high-speed data, unlimited talk and text, and that's delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And I know if I like anything in this world, it's large. So use your phone, your own phone, that is, with any Mint Mobile plan, and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts and all your pics that you scream at people when they start flipping through them, and you say, oh, don't give me my phone back. And then you can ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month.
Nice. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 dues a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile.com/HYSTERIA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
A little background. The story of Thomas Beale and this cache of precious metals was revealed to the world via what we just told you, a small pamphlet. And as we all know, no story worth a shit is sans pamphlet. Am I right, sir?
Correct.
Oh, man. It is written by an anonymous source and published by a James B. Ward under the title, what was that title?
The Beale Papers containing authenticated statements regarding the treasure buried in 1819 and 1821 near Beaufort's in Bedford County, Virginia, and which has never been recorded.
If they're not for anything, they're for concise titles.
It's the one of the best things about old-timey writings.
His accounts, which retell the and of the small dog that he found along the way. It's just like, pages.
It is. It is. It's such a thing. This thing, this pamphlet, it wove a story of one man's fantastic luck, paranoia, and the lengths to which he went in order to protect his newfound wealth by not spending any of it and just hiding it away. Not just his, though, all the people with him. Tons of people, including...
He was way ahead of his time.
Yeah, including the creation of three ciphers which held information needed to claim his fortune and the likely event of his untimely death. Because I always know, I say to you constantly, hey, I just got a payment for something. Now, if I die, here's how you get access to it. I mean, nothing beats an eccentric millionaire. Want my money? Beat these three ciphers. That's Scooby-Doo shit right there, and I'm all in for it. I don't have a problem face value with this.
Sure, sure.
You know, and
I like that he's appealing to your intelligence in order to,
yeah,
to get his goods.
If you can do this, you gotta beat these ciphers three.
And also that he's not bequeathing it to any good cause or anything.
Well, anyone
he's
who
just
bequeathing,
like...
bequeathing would, what was that again? Anyway, this pamphlet included the ciphers, one of which the anonymous man managed to figure out, and Ward sold the pamphlets at 50 cents a pop, around $13 today. Seabot, what's the rule we have with pamphlets?
If they are over $10, they better have a word search and at least one spot the difference picture game.
You goddamn right they better.
And maybe a Goofus and Gallant.
Just, you know, if the back of it doesn't fold together to reveal a different photo, then it's not worth my time.
And some art by Sergio Aragonés or whatever it is. You know, is it Gallant or Gallant? Just straight up
Gallant.
You know
what? It's a choose your own adventure on most people's names. That's how I live my life.
Just Gallant. I don't know why I'm always like, oh, he's Goofus better. So he's got Gallant as a name.
Goofus Galiente. He's really churching that one up. So people have been tearing up the land in Virginia ever since looking for this loot. Private property and common sense be damned. Tell us a little bit about this pamphlet, though, if you will. Go into a little detail.
Oh, sure. Well, it told how all of it got to Ward and started with a man named Thomas Jefferson Beale. Now, Beale was a Virginian who lived in Virginia. So the math adds up.
That's just a clever name.
In April of 1817, he left his home with a company of some 30 men in search of adventure and game hunting in the West.
Now I'm going to take these men with me and have an adventure.
Hunt some game. Perhaps the most dangerous game.
Where are all your men? They lost.
They didn't get to the chopper.
Yeah.
Their plan was to reach St. Louis, where they would procure the necessary equipment and guides.
They were going
to
get an oxen and some bullets and ford a river. They're going to find a Native American tracker who helped them go across said river. It's going to be a lot of fun.
They'll make it to Fort Laramie in no time. And then they'd head on to the Santa Fe territory, yeah. which then included parts of present-day Texas, Kansas, Oklahoma, Colorado, and New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a big one.
Yeah. What were they hunting?
They hoped. Well, they wanted to bag some bison and grizzly bears, yeah. you know, small game.
Yeah, little shit, little stuff.
The stuff that's not that dangerous.
Yeah. yeah.
But what they bagged instead, allegedly, was much more interesting.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
by complete dumb luck, they stumbled across both a gold and silver lode in a ravine about 250 to 300 miles north of Santa Fe.
That night, they all went to bed, and me murdered everyone trying to keep it for themselves. That's the real story, if this was true.
See, it really was the most dangerous game, yeah. One yeah. day, while following some game, the party encamped in a small ravine, and were preparing their evening meal when one of the men discovered, in a cleft of the rocks, something that had the appearance of gold. Upon showing it to the others, it was pronounced to be gold, and much excitement was the natural consequence.
So one day, while shooting at some food up from the rocks, I don't know, I'm not good at songs, but that screams Beverly Hillbillies. I was trying to kill me a bear, and I found a gold lode. Which was my poor name in college, fire. Gold Lode. I don't
Gold Lode.
Oh,
ladies
man.
And gentlemen, welcome to the stage.
So they made the normal thing, right? Hunter turned prospector.
That's how they all became that, I think, right?
Yeah, And you toiled away at these lists for, they say, almost 2 years.
Nobody's born a prospector.
No, well, except for old Gus. The afterbirth was just three or four pans that came out with them.
Pancinta.
There you go.
Placers are.
I see. Now you're getting a little too. You're smarter than me.
Placercinta.
Oh, Jesus. So they say they went like 2 years, right? They decided
just mining the shit out, right?
We need to move this giant cache of spoils to a more secure location than the wild frontier of Santa Fe de Nuevo Mexico. What'd they say?
They said it was finally decided that it should be sent to Virginia under my charge and securely buried in a cave near Buford's Tavern in the county of Bedford. Buford Tanner, Mad Dog, which all of us had visited and which was considered a perfectly safe depository. This was acceptable to all, and I at once made preparations for my departure.
Man, so, that's just, here we are out west. I'm going to send you with all of this money, me and these 30 guys. Why don't we send it across country with you? No, nothing to worry about.
What are they thinking?
How
many oxen do they need for that?
I don't know, man. They better.
More than they had, I guarantee. Yeah, yeah.
So supposedly he arrived at the cave with a wagon full of gold and silver and found the cave to be unfit due to frequent visitation by local farmers storing some of their harvest. Fucking farmers trying to fight ergot poisoning. What a jip, man. They ruin everything. So,
bastards.
You know, this is, you know, 1800s, there were just caves everywhere. So he found a different spot, you know, to hide their gains instead of in with the grains. Beale not only returned to the mining operation later that year because it's easy to traverse the country multiple times, then he came back to Virginia with another wagon full of metal, jewels, and all that shit, adding to the first haul.
Whew. So they got a bunch of these goodies hidden. And
yeah.
They're nowhere near there.
Yeah.
Right?
Just, I'd like to be as far away from my earthly possessions as possible.
That's so they decided,
when they decide someone back home would need to be privy to all this in this hidden trove, in case an accident or people came and found that shit and tried to take it. So what'd they decide on?
They decided that person should be the innkeeper of the Washington Hotel in Lynchburg, some 30
yep.
miles from Bedford.
Yeah. Yep.
Not the tavern owner. Nope. Washington Hotel innkeeper in yep. Lynchburg, Virginia. Yikes.
Yeah, yeah.
Near
yeah.
Roanoke, I believe. it was always the butt of jokes when I was doing the theater there.
Really? Yeah.
The theater internship. I think everybody made fun of Lynchburg. But anyways, neither here nor there. 30 miles from Bedford, where the treasure was interred.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows innkeepers are the most trustworthy and hand-picked by God themselves because of the sheer grit and honesty
damn that right.
innkeepers have.
Got him on your side there. Wow. Then on the second Something's trip wrong. Back. Hang yeah, on. No shit.
Did I say something wrong?
Did you say, yeah. On the second trip back, Beale had given the innkeeper, Mr. Robert Morris, a locked iron box and instructions that provided no one came for it. If no one came for it, you don't open it for 10 years. But then Ooh. After 10 years, it's yours. More Scooby-Doo wow. bullshit there, right?
Right.
And once 10 years is up, you can open it. David, I got one more. We're going to switch this one up. Do this as an old man Withers who ran the old or owns the old abandoned amusement park. Because that's what this sounds like Scooby-Doo.
Or you'll find, in addition to the papers addressed to you, other papers which will be unintelligible without the aid of a key to assist you. Such a key I've left in the hands of a friend in this place, sealed, addressed to yourself, and endorsed not to be delivered until June 1832. By means of this, you'll understand fully all you will be required to do.
And I would have gotten you away with it, too.
Sneaky kids.
Meddling dog. spoiler alert, the old man was doing all that for insurance money, and in June of 1832, well, that came and went, and no one ever came, supposedly, for this iron box. And Mr. Morris had hoped someone would claim the box. Being the honest innkeeper handpicked by God that he was, he waited until the year of our Lord 1845 to finally open it. Because
they gave him a chance.
Yep, yep. And he said, what did he say there?
During that year, I had the lock broken, and with the exception of the two letters addressed to myself and some old receipts, found only some unintelligible papers covered with figures and totally incomprehensible to me, but probably not to that stupid Velma.
Yeah, girl. And I never learned to read. Jinkies. the anonymous author had befriended Mr. Morris through family ties, he said. And in 1862, Morris confided to him about, you got it right, the Beale papers.
That's gross.
What is?
What?
Family ties. Michael Gross.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Dude, shut the fuck up.
David, I blame you. I'm not sure why, but I feel better blaming you for all that. Anyway, back to it. You picked the wrong damn rec room, didn't ya? Sorry. Speaking about West, Reba McEntire action.
Perfection.
Back to it. The man eagerly accepted the challenge to decipher the pages of numbers and inquired details how he could, or all the details he could about Morris's dealings with Beale, even down to the description of the man, if you will.
Same old man?
Yeah, we're going to go with that. Dude.
In person, he was about 6 feet in height with jet black eyes and hair of the same colors, probably the devil, worn longer than was the style at the time. His form was symmetrical and gave evidence of unusual strength and activity, but his disgusting feature was a dark and swarthy. Oh, wait, but his distinguishing feature, was a dark and swarthy complexion, as if much exposure to the sun and weather had thoroughly tanned and discolored him. This, however, did not detract from his appearance, and I thought him the handsomest man I'd ever seen. Oh, boy, 6 to midnight is what I'm talking about. Altogether, he was a model of manly beauty, favored by the ladies and envied by men me.
So Brent Hand of the time noted. That's all you had to say. Brent Hand of the time. That makes sense.
they're long-winded. It's like
and
the
then titles. I died. Morris died in 1863. And as you do back in that time, he was a ripe old age of 9. No, He died in 63 and he turned all the material to the anonymous author who continued to try and decipher this code. Well, by accident, according to him, the man found that the second cipher could be read with the Declaration of Independence as a key because what the fuck? How the fuck do you figure that out? Hey, I had them sitting next to one another and I thought, how many times have you just had the Declaration of Independence sitting out and you're like, this really helped with this New York Times crossword?
We gotta steal the Constitution.
And that'll lead to another clue. And that'll lead to another clue.
And Sean Bean will die.
Yeah. Well, that's normal. Anyway, so the numbers on Beale's ciphers, which range from 1 to 1,005, corresponded to words in the Declaration. One was the first, two was the second, and so on. And the first letter of each word was used to form a message. The same one that began with the Floripedia. Did you hear what I said there?
Hello. Hello.
Now, there's different printings of the Declaration, so it's resulted in different words over the time. Yeah, you know, shit happens, you know, but it's all pretty reliable. And then, unfortunately, it didn't work for 103. Tried Yankee Doodle. That didn't work. And he's like, fuck it, I'm done. I'm stumped. This, you know, after a long and frustrating time with nothing to show for it, the man did reflect. This is the guy who was trying to figure this out. What did he have to say?
Not the old man, right?
Nope, he's dead.
This is the author. In consequence of the time lost in the above investigation, I have been reduced from comparative affluence to absolute penury, entailing suffering upon those it was my duty to protect, and this, too, in spite of their remonstrances. My God, I have spent all my money on these words that I'm using. My eyes were at last open to their condition, and I resolved to sever at once and forever all connection with the affair, and retrieve, if possible, my errors. To do this, as the best means of placing temptation beyond my reach, I determined to make public the whole matter, and shift from my shoulders my responsibility to Mr. Maurice.
Yeah, and so he gave the work to James Ward to be published in pamphlets in 1885, which was a banner year in said Buford Tannen, who we brought up earlier, and making Beale's alleged
I hate that name
trove of gold and silver and jewels public, and igniting gold fever in would-be treasure hunters ever since. Now, that's a fucking pamphlet. Even if it didn't have a word scramble on the back, you know, sometimes you gotta make an exception. You know?
Yeah.
And it's break time. Speaking of exceptions, we'll come back. What's happened in the last 138 years? Not a goddamn thing. No, there's been a bunch. We're going to get to that. The results of the pamphlet all this time later, right after this on Hysteria 51. Why are so many dogs suffering with health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. A lot of dogs have the same issues you do, David. That's interesting.
They do. I feel bad for them.
After doing tons of research, she feels there's only one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food.
So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. It's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes.
That is right, and I've been feeding it to our dogs for months now. It's actually something we use. They love it. They took to it immediately. They get everything they need from it. And David, we sent some to you. You said it tastes pretty good too, didn't you?
Oh, it's a great complete.
Do not eat it. That's not the word to say. No, but it has been great for our dogs. And they are just getting everything they need because we are feeding them the best stuff. David, tell them how they can get this.
Go to badlandsranch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all of these incredible things, go to BADLANDSRanch.com/hysteria today.
Bum, bum, bum. Result me, if you will, Daddy.
Result me, Daddy.
Tell me what's been going on.
Well, I mean, people have looked. They've trespassed.
Not
they've
over
hired
here.
Contractors.
They've
rented equipment. They've even employed mediums to help.
Mediums at large.
All to no avail.
Mm-hmm.
And this simple fact has led many to ask if this is all just a stupid-ass hoax, man.
And who can blame them, right?
Right. Yeah.
David, could you see yourself getting caught up in any of this shit? Like, I know we talked about that, but if you were that back in the day, like, just there's just too many questions, right? Don't
we,
you're like
back
me.
In
you
the
just
day.
You just look at stuff and just go, no, that's no.
What's the year on this back in the day? When,
let's say it's 1885, and you're like, oh, hey, I got all these shillings burning a hole in my pants that don't have a pocket.
That's right. I'm Irish.
I might as well buy a pamphlet.
I don't know. I don't know if I would or not. It's an awful big. I mean, you know, you
it's
have
a big
to
gamble
to take
not
this,
to take.
Well, it's you have to take this cipher and figure it out, and that's kind of a big roadblock.
Fuck, I can't read. I don't even know how to wash. Warsh, I meant to say, probably.
I ain't washing.
Well, how can one out of three ciphers be solved and a huge cache of gold, silver, and jewels stay hidden just 4 miles from Buford's Tavern and in place and meeting place and fucking rye depositor, I don't know, in Bedford County, Virginia, all these years? Well, I'll tell you what, they never started a circle pattern just checking everywhere. But that's just on me. Speaking of ciphers, the second cipher does not, it does work somewhat. It does match up with the declaration, save for some mixed numberings. Like we said, they blame that on different, you know, copies of the declaration.
Yeah.
And what's that? Go ahead.
No, I'm just laughing. It's like basing it on the Bible.
Right. Yeah. King James? No, it's the
New International
Version.
Son of
a
kids.
Bitch. This one's got pictures in this pamphlet. Both James Ward and Robert Morris are verified people in Virginia's historical record. We'll get to that in a minute. Ciphers of page 1 and 3 are not random strings of numbers. There are cryptographers that have looked at and determined that there is a pattern of some kind alluding to a apparent hidden message. So the big question, and we were joking earlier when we said I dropped my decoder ring, but why the hell can't it be solved? Well, the key isn't there. In cryptography, they need an auxiliary piece of information which specifies plain text for the cipher text, meaning this is how you break it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to use the Stargate, you need the capstone. You know what I mean? Come on, man.
The seventh chevron needs to be locked.
Yeah, you know, you said we needed 7 points. Yeah, you know, place of origin. You know how it goes. You guys get it. The papers mention a key, which, in you know, is this auxiliary piece of information. It's not there. It's just, it's missing. And the declaration was the key for the second test, allegedly, but didn't work so well with the other stuff. So they're locked, you know, without it. And it could be that other literary works could be used. Many have apparently tried, such as the Bible. You brought that up. The Constitution, Magna Carta, almost all of the Where's Waldo's, a bunch of the the Hellraiser books, you know, Hellbound Heart didn't work. Anyway, it's all bangers of the day, I'm sure, everything right. that they used. Anyway, on cursory explanation of the ciphers, all of which is online, David actually was looking. He could find a couple problems with the thought of using the declaration for all three, that being the number of words. You just said there's just too many. The first one, second one has 1,005. The declaration is 1,458. The first has 2,906 words. You know, it would need a different key than declaration, probably, you know.
Yeah.
Provided there's no fanciful dancing around the document.
And we all know Flora loves his prancing.
We all do know that, David. We all know that.
It's not hidden.
Someone's been on his only enemies. So what now? What do we do? Is that just, you know, do we turn it over a supercomputer and let it crawl through the Library of Congress?
I bet AI has already figured it out.
Well, they did figure one thing out. There's a lot of issues in the fucking story.
Uh-oh.
Hit us with some of those, if you will, good sir.
Okay.
If you insist.
Well, one problem is if the keys to the other papers were written by Beale himself and lost over the years, there's no way of knowing what would be in them.
Kind of right? What we said, yeah.
That's, of course, if Beale ever existed
in
the first place.
Oh.
So this is when we're going to lead you down a better path of questioning than just why it hasn't been solved and or found yet. A stronger line of questioning is it all just a lie?
I see.
This is made up. There have been several analyses done over the years and many questions asked, and none more scrutinizing than Joe Nichols' work on it in 1982.
The fucking 80s, man. Still badass. Still just fucking awesome, man. Just coming through in clutch, but I digress.
Nichol pointed out several discrepancies in the story, which paint a pretty interesting picture.
Yeah.
There are several factors to consider and question. Some of them I'll just ask questions to think about. Some of them I'll go into a little detail on. Why? Because we're lazy. So get all the way off our backs.
Yeah, you fuck you. Fuck you all the way.
First of all, finding a gold vein or ore on the surface in rough terrain, it's pretty fucking lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's stranger things have happened.
You can let that one go. Yeah, we can pretend. Yeah.
And beyond that, are you telling me that 30 men, give or take a few guides, worked a huge vein for years and word never got out about it? Come on.
I want to think that if a whole bunch of men were working a big vein, people would be talking about it. So I'm calling all joke aside, though, there is no way that 30 dudes are like, take all my money back to Virginia, please and thank you. And I'm not going to have anyone back home try to steal that.
Waylay us on the way.
Were these Banesmen from the fucking Batman movie? Like, brother, one must die. You know, like, okay, sure. Come on, man.
Yeah. They flew it back and blew up the plane.
That's right.
So here's another thing. The California Gold Rush was still 20 years away, and the reason it was called the Gold Rush was because word got out that someone had found gold at Sutter's Mill, and news was in New York in less than 5 months.
Yeah.
In 2 years, the population of San Francisco went from 1,000 to 25,000.
Yeah, and that's because 673,000 people tried to move there. That's how many died along the way. Give or take, I made that up, but you can, you know, it just feels right.
It paints a picture. But according to Ward, Beale and company sat on it all, kept it quiet, deposited two loads across the country and never claimed it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, if you're looking for a place to buy your red flags, you found it. Yeah.
Come on down to Wacky Flailing Red Flag Emporium. Due to a shipment.
We got all this gold have this gold.
Due to a shipment discrepancy twice from out west, we have plenty of red flags. You know, that's a 2,000-mile...
It's 2,000 miles away, man.
Yeah. I'm going to do that twice in a year, a couple times. Go fuck yourself. That's a long way to transport two wagon loads of gold weighing in excess of four tons.
I it's not impossible, but come on.
We can let it slide. You're right, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
but keep going. Hang on a second.
Here's another thing. There's more.
There's more. Was it refined metal or ore? No, we don't know.
Yeah, it's not clear. Yeah.
If it's refined, did whoever do the refining also keep quiet about the massive amount of precious metal coming in?
Best friends walked in one day, and they said,
they all learned,
"Listen up, good chap.
It.
I'm from out east, and I need you to refine all this ore for me. We're taking it back to Virginia."
Jackie Daytona, regular human prospector. Anyways, Beale says in one letter to Morris that he stopped in St. Louis on the second trip to exchange some silver for jewels.
Yeah.
would they exchange ore for jewels? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems like things are falling apart, right?
Yeah, well, then if it's unraveling, keep throwing on the, pull that thread. Pull on it. I dare you.
Well, I'll... Damn, get, now I'm kind of scared to pull on this. Another observation, the deciphered text is weird for the second of a series.
Yeah.
It sets up... The second part of this sets up the whole conceit and tells what's in one and three.
Why would you need to do that? Like, why do you in the first one, I'm going to say this, and in the third one, I'm going to say that. How do you start at two?
Right. So did Empire Strikes Back set up a new hope?
It just ends on such a downer, man. Yeah, it literally says like paper number one describes the location, paper number two, paper number three is this, that, I don't know. Let's go back to the good old 80s though, and our hero Joe Nickel. So you were talking about this earlier, and you found all this part, and it's great. He talked about historical records of a Thomas Jefferson Beale, Charles Manson Hitler. Thomas Jefferson Beale, and came up, pretty empty-handed. The closest Thomas Beale on record would have been pushing 100 in 1822, which would have looked about 700. He would have made Yoda look spry in that last, speaking of Star Wars. When 1822, you live to be 100. No, I don't.
Doubt my gold hiding skills, do you?
There are a couple unsubstantiated Beals in genealogies, and a Thomas Beale in a customer lift from a St. Louis post office in 1820. That's a significant hit because he was there trading ore for jewels. No, just kidding. But there's no documentation to track down any of these people of ever really being in that place or down this mysterious cipher maker. They point out the seeming synchronicity in the name Thomas Jefferson Beale and the author of the Declaration of Independence, Edward Fitzgerald Beale, famous for transporting gold from California to D.C. to prove the gold rush was real. Convenient.
Convenient.
And further, Robert Morris did exist. A hole popped up in this story as a pamphlet includes...
The dude that started the college.
Yeah, that's... Come on down.
Is that a D3 school?
I'm going to get you learning. it included a letter from Beale to Morris as a proprietor of the Washington Hotel in 1822. But Morris, all right, he didn't acquire the hotel until 1823, the bastards.
Bum, bum, bum.
And even further, Beale's letters contained the words stampeding and improvise. The earliest uses of these were... in print, 1840.
So this is an anachronism.
Yeah.
A-N-A-C-H-R-O-S-I-S-M. N-I-S-M. Anachronism. It's, I don't know if I spelled
that. M-O-U-S-E.
But this is
A-N-A-C-H-R-O-N-I-S-M. But yes, yeah.
It's a great way to tell when something's bullshit. When you have words and phrases and items mentioned that are not of the time,
or he's just a badass way ahead of his time, and maybe even a time traveler because he's got that kind of money, you know. But
when Beale put out these pamphlets on TikTok, he was not doing
Nickel right? gave Nickel actually. So he gave the pamphlet to a linguist. This is going on with exactly what you're talking about. He made a solid analysis of the style of writing and compared to the contemporary sources for Ward's time and found incredibly strong correlation between the anonymous writer and Beale's letters, meaning this points to them being the same person. Again, like you just said, dun, 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 you know, which turns a squinting skeptical eye towards James B. Ward himself. And as mentioned, the writing style is similar though. Ward was the person to publish the story. He stood to profit from its sale, and additional details were uncovered. The pamphlet was advertised many times in the newspaper, The Virginian.
Starring John Wayne.
Yeah, and it was not advertised in any other paper at the time. Guess what? The Virginian, owned by James Ward's cousin.
Oh, my gosh.
50 cents a pop and a little lie here and there can make some loot come your way for sure back then. And get people thinking.
I love this. It's like detective work, right?
Yeah. You know, it's a little lie. Get some people out. You know, see the countryside. Maybe die. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
As long as I get rich.
Oh, and guess what? It's with every historical mystery, a common explanation that pops up as well. The Freemasons were connected. unlike many history mysteries, though. So might have a legitimate Freemason connection. Cryptologist Ilonka Dunin has spoken about this in various lectures. They highlight connections. I'm not going to get it long into this. There's, I know when you did this before, you actually played some of that, but there's tons of Freemason symbolisms and stuff in this. So what's the survey say, long and short, on this, David?
Survey says, boom, bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I hope for whoever created this thing's sake, they didn't mean for the treasure to be the thrill of chase. You know, it'd rather be like screwing people. Hopefully it was just like, I want to get some money, you know, and help my cousin, you know. And James Ward was a Mason. He entered apprentice in December of 62. He became a master Mason less than a year later. He was suspended in October of 67 with no further details given. Suspended being unclear, as if it could assume he didn't pay his dues, or if the powers that be from Alpha Centauri didn't really like him.
I don't like the cut of this guy's jib.
So, I don't know. There's lots of stuff, lots of Mason allegory. You can go further into that. It can all be true. A few bits of it could be outright impossible. Maybe it's all a lie. Is it bad? Was it a bad thing? Was it all jive? Do you look at this as a bad thing?
Yeah, because it's
do people have
a lot
money?
Of people have been affected by this. A lot of people, like, there are documentaries or even like just homemade documentaries, really, of news stories of people who have sunk fortunes into trying to find this thing and lost families, and really, you know, it's kind of like an addiction. And
there's just too many factors stacked against it. You know,
it was, you know, the signs for me point to this being manufactured just to make somebody a buck.
Right.
And that's not good. That is deceptive.
I think right when you had like 30 plus men all just not wanting to keep that money, you lost me. Right.
Yeah, you know, when they all work together.
Yeah, you know, there's also, so people have pointed out, you know, two additional things. One, that the third cipher is supposed to list names and addresses of all the people, but it only has 618 characters in that part, which means that the persons would only have 21 characters each. Write out your name and address. It's way further than, you know what I mean? Like,
it's so annoying when you have to adhere to characters.
Right, yeah. It'd be something remarkable if they were all just like, Bly do, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Well, they all lived in one place because they were all best friends. Second point, Ward said a fire broke out in the print shop after the pamphlet was published, destroying all remaining copies of everything. So no able to substantiate any claims. God cleansed it with fire. It's been speculated that maybe he got more than he bargained with the publication, and he wanted to stop potential harm it could do. Maybe people were trying to shake him down. So obviously it was a bit too late, as people have sunk time, money, and relationships into this ever since, but don't do it is the takeaway, right?
I would say so. I don't think you need to look for this one.
Fuck it. You know what? You're your own master.
I mean, you can, but there's legitimate things out there that you can look for. The Forest Fens is gone, but there's still that book, The Secret, which has different treasures buried in different cities that are still unfound.
And that's, I've said this many, many times, I will give anyone lots of money if you can explain why my dad watched Hee Haw and Larry's Country Diner. That is a, that I don't want to call it a treasure. It's more of a conundrum. I don't know, Nation. What do you think? Is there something to it? Is it a hoax? How do you feel about these eccentric millionaires and billionaires, like The Secret and stuff, putting money out there for people to find? You know, and when you look at these things, what are the red flags do you think is the most damning that sets stuff like this as fake or real? You know, what do you look for?
Yeah.
There's a lot to choose from in this one. There might not be others, and others we know are real. You know, just don't put your argument in a cipher. that's the Beale Papers in a cryptographic Masonic glittering nutshell, man.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? So, I don't know, David, when you become crazy and rich and eccentric, where are you going to hide your stuff?
When I become? I'll probably... I'll hide it in a lake of fire or something. Like, something that when the lava hardens, you have it, like, it's impossible to get to.
That's right.
That's where I'll hide it. Fuck you. That's where I'll hide it.
I'm going to hide on the corner of fucking you. So there you go. We got to get out of here on this one, but this has been the Beale Ciphers. And if you know of another one that you want to cause to cover something like this, or maybe you found some treasure, well, get it to us. Email us weird@hysteria51.com, 773-669-7277 for your voicemails. And with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.